Would you pray with me? Father, we ask your blessings on this time together. Lord, I'm sharing facts that are maybe alarming to us, but yet if we're aware of what's going on around us in our society, Lord, they're not at all. As we see marriages crumbling, we see families that are torn apart, and we see all of the world in need of the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask your blessings on our time today. I pray, Father, that it would be a time of recommitment of who we are in you and in marriage relationships and in relationship to our children and our grandchildren. Father, bless this time together. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
I grew up in a great church. We had Bible stories, I sang Jesus choruses, went to youth camp and vacation Bible school. I think I even won a Bible memory contest or two.
Now, I'm in a beautiful church, but I didn't grow up in a church like this. In fact, we didn't go to church as a kid. I grew up in a single-parent home. My mom and dad divorced when I was 2.5 months old. The closest I ever got to any kind of religious instruction was when, for 1 year, I was in a parochial school and got kicked out in fifth grade. But the thing that did change my life was when, in high school, I met a guy named Doug Barham. And Doug was the spiritual leader of his home. He loved his family, and I got to see Jesus lived out in a family, and that's what brought me to Christ.
I think our children's ministry used FlannelGraph. My youth group was me, two other guys, and a volunteer director named Steve. Great people, great hearts, but the programs were nothing like what my kids have today at the church we attend.
You know, over the last several years, I've had the privilege of being in hundreds of churches, and the level of excellence is incredible. I don't care if you pick leadership or worship or youth or children's ministry, the excellence that's being done in ministry is just astounding.
So the only churches my kids have known have powerful, engaging worship, multimedia sermons, cutting-edge children's and student ministries. They even have a coffee shop to boot.
We're bringing our kids to great churches. So why is it that we're losing the next generation?
So if my kids have such a great church experience, I've got to ask myself, why do I worry that they might be part of the 50% or more of kids growing up in church who are going to walk away from the faith? Something doesn't add up.
You know, there's lots of stats to pick from. Marriage on decline, divorce going up, kids not embracing their faith.
I remember one of the elders at our church talking to me, where I'm pastor of spiritual formation. We were discussing this issue, and he said, "Kurt, we have great programs. We have a lot of families coming to this church. We have a lot of children. But we're losing the next generation, and we don't know why." So as a leadership team, we began to think that through. We began to say, how do we look at this through different lenses? And one of the things we realized is that, like my family, I have four children. We have families coming to this church because they want their children to receive the gospel. And so they think, well, the church has the gospel, the living water of the gospel, and I'll bring them to church and we'll have them pour that water onto the lives of our children and into the hearts of our children. But it just seems to drip off. We're losing the next generation. Why are the roots not growing deep? And we said, well, we know what the problem is, don't we? The problem is they need to go to a bigger church where there are maybe better programs and, you know, maybe a really hip, cool, avant-garde youth pastor who will get them excited about the faith. But the water drips off there, too. It doesn't seem to take root. We said, you know, the real problem, God's design is that the gospel grow in the rich soil of a home. And it's in the context of the family and the gospel poured into the home that their roots will grow deep. And that's the model we've been missing.
Yeah. We must be Jesus in our home. God-honoring families. Nurturing, inspired families. Strong marriages. Husbands, you realize the best gift you can give to your children is to love your wives. Wives, the best gift you can give to your husband, it's Father's Day next week. Just love him. Love your husbands. The church has a role to equip parents and grandparents. But we only have the children for a few hours a week. And so I want to read a key passage to you. Or actually, I'm going to ask you to stand and turn with me to it. It's Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Please be seated. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk down the road. We must be Jesus in our homes. Let me just share with you a few more ways that the trends confirm this. Faith in the home is very evident to the children. In a recent survey that was made across America, the number one influencer to children wasn't the coach, wasn't the children's minister, wasn't the youth pastor. Who do you think number one was? That's a question. Mom. 81% of the children said mom. Dad, you came in a close second. 67% of the children said the dad. So you have 2 to 3 times as much influence on your children at home as we do here at the church. And yet, united with the church and the home, it seems we're losing the battle. In America in 1990, 86% of the folks professed Christianity. In the year 2000, 10 years later, it was down 10% to 76%. What do you think it's going to be in 2010? Hate to see it, don't you? Did you know that 65% of those who come to believe in Christ come to do so as minors? Children ages 5 to 13 have a 32% probability of coming to know Christ. Wow, Karen, that's a lot of responsibility in your area. 32%. Teens, a 4 to 5% probability. For the rest of the life beyond the years of teenagers, 6% probability that they'll come to know Christ. George Barna, the statistician who does so much research in Christian areas, says that if a person does not accept Christ as Savior before the age of 14, the likelihood of ever doing so is slim. You saw on the video, children who grew up in the church. 90% of the children who grow up in our churches, they're church kids. 90% walk away from the faith by the time they're sophomores in college. 90%. And only 50% of them ever come back. You know, there's that time of rebellion in their life during the time of college, and half of them come back. But we're losing 50% of the children and the teenagers that grow up in our churches. And the number one culprit is obviously the fact that we're not providing what we need to provide in our homes. George Borna said that fewer than 10% of the children who attend church experience have any other type of experience in the home. 10%. Think about that. We get our children ready to come to church. We load them up in the car. We bring them to church. We go to worship. We go to Bible study. We go home. They never hear anything else about the Lord Jesus Christ. 10% of the children. You see, we've outsourced everything. We have people that mow our lawns. We have people that do our laundry. We have people that keep our children. And we've outsourced the development of our children to the church. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. We need families to be having faith conversations and serving together. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying to you. I'm not saying that we're going to do away with anything that we're doing for preschool children and youth, in case you're wondering that. We're going to continue to provide what this church has always provided for preschool and children and youth. But I'm telling you what we're doing. We're making a faith commitment to you to better equip you to be Jesus in your home. Our community of faith here at Mimosa Lane needs to foster a culture of support and spiritual formation and partnership with you as parents. We need to partner with you to enhance your marriage. We need to, grandparents, do some things that will help you in the spiritual nourishment of your grandchildren. And so I want you to know right up front, we're not talking about we're going to do away with everything and we're going to put it back in your court. But we're going to support you in that, and I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. We're casting a vision, but we're not going to just leave you out there all alone. Now, in case you're thinking, well, you're just the old guyskin and you don't really know what you're talking about, we young families are different. You know, God has blessed us, Karen and I. Some of you, if you're visiting with us today, you may not know. My wife is the children's minister here. She's over the preschool and children's area. And we've been here over 15 years. We love this church. Many of the children that we've seen grow up in this church are now in this church as adults. Gilbert can speak. He's got 30-something years experience. He can speak even more. We want to see that continue. We want to see our children and our teenagers go out and serve the Lord. We have a daughter, Christy, who she and her husband, Chad, are over here. They're members of our church, very involved. They have three children, Carly, 8-year-old. She's our only rose in the midst of a bunch of boy thorns. She has twin brothers that are almost 5, and they are a terror if they want to be. Wonderful, wonderful family. We love them. And some of you remember Kyle, our son, grew up in this church, played football, graduated from Mesquite High School, surrendered to the ministry, married a local girl here, Bob and Kathy Johnson's daughter, Kelly. Kelly's here today with Kyle. And they have two boys. One's just turned 1, and the other one is just turned 4. And they're all fun, all of them, especially when those 4 boys get together. I wanted you to hear it from a young parent today. Kyle is going to join me. Would you welcome him? Kyle served at First Baptist Church Midlothian as children's minister for a while. You remember some of you were children here when he was the children's minister intern for, in fact, Kelly was too, for a couple of summers. He served First Baptist Midlothian, went to be administrator of a Christian encampment, and is now administrator with Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children. And he came in from Spina Bifida Camp to join me on the platform today. He is at camp with the kids, Spina Bifida kids, this week down in Central Texas. So, Kyle, why is it important Oh, we got the picture. For Case and for Kai, for you and Kelly to be Jesus in your home.
You know, I'll never forget that moment when they were born. I was standing in the delivery room and just the sea of emotions that happened. If you've ever been there before, it's just an incredible event because you're juggling all these emotions from joy to anxiety to just awe at the whole situation. And I remember in that moment, I just had just a brief, just second glance of, you know what? These kids are mine. And it was about then that the responsibility and the authority just kind of just overwhelmed me for just a minute. Because, you know, the hospital, they let you take the baby home. They don't make you take an IQ test or anything else. They give you the baby and they go, it's yours. Have fun. All right? And as long as you bring a car seat with you, then that baby's going home with you no matter what. And it's up to you. So it was now my job to provide for these two kids physically. But it was also my job to provide a home and Kelly's job to provide a home that was nurturing to them emotionally. And so that they could grow up with an emotional thing. But then I also realized very quickly that, you know what, as the spiritual leader in my home, it was my job to provide something for them spiritually. And I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And it was just really overwhelming responsibility. And I'll never forget being to dinner with a bunch of new dads. We were all sitting around swapping stories about not sleeping and diapers and all the other things that dads do. Because dads do that, all right? And we were talking about this, and the question came up because we were talking about some of our buddies from high school and college. And as Dad said, I did grow up in a great church. I grew up here in this youth ministry, and I loved everything about it. But we started talking about stories, and then somebody finally said, you know, I wonder what so-and-so's doing now. And, you know, we might be able to track a few of our friends, but we saw firsthand that 90%. I remember sitting, not in this auditorium, but in the other auditorium, and I can think of people who sat right beside me week in, week out, every Sunday, every Wednesday, who have walked away from the faith. And then the question popped up. So what's the difference? What's the difference in those of us who want to continue on in our faith, who want to make sure that our families are different, and those who've walked away? And we really struggled with it. We talked about it. Is it prayer? Is it Bible study? You know, what are we supposed to be doing with our kids to make this thing work? And in the midst of this struggle, I came across this passage in Deuteronomy, and I love this passage in Deuteronomy because I think it does a couple things. If you look at where it is in context of Scripture, it's right after Moses comes down and he delivers the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. And he says, you know what, these are the things that you guys are supposed to be about. But he doesn't stop there. He says, you know what, not only are you supposed to do these things, but I want you to teach your kids all of these things, and I want you to impress it upon their hearts. And I love that language there. But then he even goes just a step further to go, but let me kind of give you just a brief example of exactly how you're supposed to do that. Look back at the scripture with me. In verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And for me as a dad, that means that if anything is going to happen in my household, it's got to start with me. I cannot lead my family in a direction that I'm not going. It's impossible. There is no way that I'm going to get them to go somewhere that I'm not already going spiritually. And that's tough because you know what? Your kids know. All right. They figure out what's important to you. They figure out what you enjoy and what you love and the passions and the interests that you have. And so let me ask you this morning, how many times have your kids ever caught you reading your Bible? How many times have they walked in and you're on your knees in prayer? Because you see, as somebody asked me these questions, I began to think about it. I went, you know what? My kids see me do a lot of different things. They see me watching football games a whole lot of time. They see me getting passionate about a Rangers game. But how many times do they see me getting passionate about the Word of God? How many times do they actually observe that in my life? And you know, Dad brought up the point earlier that that basically our actions will always speak louder than our words. That we can proclaim anything we want to and we can tell our kids anything. But here's the thing. We're not going to fool them. We're not going to trick them. And as I've become a parent, that's become more and more evident in my life. My four-year-old, Kai, I love him to death. He's my little linebacker. The kid loves to hit. But when he hits, he doesn't just, you know, gently kind of lightly tap you and wrap his arms around her. He throws his entire 55-pound weight dead into you, and I mean, he hits. In fact, his favorite phrase when he was 3 years old was, Daddy, I'm about to boom you. All right, and that was his warning that he's coming, all right? And hopefully he gave you a warning because it was the times that he didn't that you really had to worry, all right? And, you know, the person that can attribute this the best is my mother-in-law, Kathy Johnson, because one day Kai decided that he was going to get hurt. Now, let me preface this by saying, several nights at my house, you will see the boys and me in the floor, usually with a football, throwing each other around, rolling around, hitting each other, piling on, that kind of thing, and that's just the way we do things. We just show affection that way or whatever. But this night, Kai decided that he was going to do that with his Gigi. And so he starts in the kitchen and he runs around the kitchen table and he goes in and so quietly and without any warning at all, he just throws his entire weight into her back as she's sitting on her knees. And not only does he knock her off balance, he takes her all the way down to the floor. Now, being the football player dad that I am, I have to say my heart swelled with pride just a little bit because I mean, he used good form. He wrapped up. It was a pretty thing. But Kelly kind of looked at me like, you need to go talk to him about this. And so we go back to his room, and I get him on his eyes face to face, and I said, you know what, Kai? We can't do that with your Gigi. And I just remember this look of confusion like, but Daddy, we always do that. You see, my actions will always speak louder than my words. And the things that I want my kids to do are things that I need to be doing myself if I really want them to grasp those things. Keep going in verse 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. You know, I love that. It says to be upon your hearts in the NIV. The New Living Translation actually says wholehearted. And I love that because it's that idea and that picture of that you have to put all of yourself into this endeavor. That this is not just a half-hearted commitment that you can just kind of every once in a while pick up and it's going to do that. But we know that, don't we? That any worthwhile endeavor that we have in life starts with a wholehearted commitment. If you're going to start a business from scratch, it's going to take a wholehearted commitment. If you're going to lose that 10 pounds that you keep wanting to do every New Year's resolution, all right, it's going to take a wholehearted commitment. And if we're going to do the things that we want to do with our kids, it is going to take a wholehearted commitment. Now, how many of you have ever or have heard the term baby-proofing your house? All right, you've heard this? All right, I want to make sure that everybody knows what we're talking about. Baby-proofing your house means that you go into every room in your house and you answer one question, and that is, if I was a child, if I was a two-year-old, how could I get hurt in this room? All right? And so you go nuts. You look at every cabinet. You look at every drawer. You look at every sharp corner. You look at every bookcase, every piece of furniture, everything else. And then your job is to take that and to transform it to make sure that nothing in that room a child can hurt themselves on. And I'll be honest, it's a job. It's work. You're crawling under cabinets to put these little bitty screws underneath so that the cabinets lock and they can't open them. You do the same thing with the drawers. You put pillows on all the sharp edges. You anchor all the bookcases to the wall and you do all these different things. And you know what? You get to the end of it and sometimes you may go, golly, why are we doing all this? But the answer is simple. Because we don't want our children to hurt themselves physically. We don't want those bookcases to topple over on them. We don't want them to run into those sharp corners. And you know where I'm going with this. We make those kind of commitments to keep them safe physically. But what kind of commitments are we making for their spiritual well-being? What kind of commitments are we pouring into their life so that we go, you know what? We want our kids to be the ones who are doing great and awesome things. The last thing that he gives, it said he gives us, the writer of Deuteronomy gives us a little bit of picture of how we actually should do this. And look at verse 7. It says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you go along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now, there's a string of commercials that's been on TV for some time now. And it's basically saying, you know what, if you want to keep your kids off drugs, if you want to keep them away from alcohol or not smoke or that kind of thing, then here's you go, parents. Are you ready for this? Talk to them. And they act like this is earth-shattering news, that like this is what should change everything. But the idea is that God's been saying this for 3,000 years. You know what? He says, talk to them, but not just talk once. It says, repeat these things to them over and over and over and over and over again. Because in that repetition is when they might finally start to get it. And that becomes the most important thing. You know, it says at home or on the road. I have a friend of mine who says he's got three kids. And he says, you know what? I never go on an errand alone. Because if I take one of my kids with me to go get the oil changed, or if I take one of my kids with me to go to the grocery store, it's in those minutes that I've got their full attention. And I can talk to that child and have a conversation with them and just get to know that one child away from everything else. And I love that thing. Because you see, I think these talks that we're talking about, yes, it's talks about the faith. It's talking about all the different things that's going on in your life and their lives and how important God is. But I also think sometimes that talks are just very important just for their overall well-being. Sometimes those unstructured talks can be the absolute best thing for them. I remember growing up, and at holidays, we'd always spend an extended time with family. And Dad's parents had a lakefront property on Holly Lake Ranch, and they had a screened-in porch. And I knew that as soon as I got up, which was usually pretty much pretty early, that my grandfather was going to be out on the back porch, and he usually had already finished at least one cup of coffee before I got there. And I'll never forget those times, being 7, 8, 9 years old, that I would join them on the patio, and it was my dad, and it was my granddad, and it was me. Now, today, I can't tell you one topic that we talked about. I can't tell you one thing that was said or anything else, but here's what I can tell you. The overall feelings of love and acceptance that I felt being in the company of my granddad and my dad, and feeling like, you know what, they care enough about me to include me in these conversations and to talk to me, because to me, that was what was most important. You know, the Bible goes on to give us some just glimpse of a result of what would happen if we actually do these things. If we make a wholehearted commitment, if we lead in the right direction, and we talk to our kids, then Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I think that this is so critical because in my life, I know that God has a very special plan for Kai, and God has a very special plan for Case. And my prayer, since the day they were born, is that I would be the tool and the resource that they need to do those wonderful things. God has an incredible picture for them, and it's just an enormous vision that He is going to change the world with their lives, and I know He's going to, and we talk about this all the time. We'll say, Kai, you know what? God is going to use you in an incredible way. And he doesn't realize it yet, and he doesn't know what it is, but I want him to realize that God has a plan, and we're going to help reveal that to him along the way through several different ways.
Thank you, Kel. We're short of time, but our third point today is Mimosa Lane claim it. The trends confirm it. The Scripture commands it. We need to claim it. Amen? Now, let me restate the vision. The vision is that as a result of being in this church, marriages will be stronger. Children will be led to Christ by their parents and their grandparents and nurtured and encouraged in the Lord. And teenagers will be led to the Lord and launched out into the world to work and live for Him. That's the vision. We're not going to cover a lot of the stuff, Kyle, we were going to cover because of our time and vision. But I do want to say this. The Scripture tells us without vision, the people perish. Literally, that means that confusion results. So we want there not to be any confusion. From this day forward, we're making a fresh commitment to family. I pulled together a group. It was John because of the ABLs, Karen because of the children, and Sandra because of the preschool and children, and Josh because of the youth. And we spent a day in training with an organization called the Strong Family Innovation Alliance. Strong Family Innovation Alliance has just started. There's about 8 churches involved. We've made a commitment to be one of the churches to say, we want to make a difference in being Christian homes in this community, and in the homes of our church. And we want to make a difference. And the way we get involved with, the reason we get involved with them is the resources that we're going to be able to provide for you. So there'll be no confusion on your part about, well, what do I do? Okay? So we've cast a vision. We've created a vision. The strategy will be, first of all, that we're going to change the culture. The culture is not going to be, well, this is just another program. It's going to walk along with all of the programs of the church, and we are going to evaluate everything we do and the way we do it and what will best benefit you. And parents, we're going to pull some of you. We've already talked to some of you. We're going to pull some of you in to assist us with this. Are you excited about that? Amen. 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 We want to change the culture here. We can equip, we can coach, but we can't do the job for you. We want to equip you, parents, to lead your children to Christ. You know, nothing is more blessed than have the opportunity of leading your own child to Christ. We want that opportunity for you. Not that Gilbert minds doing that a bit. He doesn't mind if you bring the children to him, or Karen, if you bring the children to her. But first of all, have the opportunity for you to sit down and feel comfortable leading them to the Lord. We're going to help you know how to do that. We're going to coach you in how to do that. Kyle, you want to say a word about that? Kyle's church, and he has been involved with the Strong Family Alliance, and that's one reason I asked him to come today.
I'm going to give you one quick example of how this works, but there's several different things that there are several different elements that are provided, but one of my favorites is actually recipe cards where you can go and you can pick up just one thing to say, if we're going to have a family night together, here's how it's going to work. And I'm the kind of person that you've got to give me step-by-step instructions. And so here's what it was. And there was one example that we did, and it was Valentine's Day. You know, several people will get a babysitter and go out. Kelly kept kind of bugging me all week and saying, you know, what are we going to do for Valentine's Day? And I said, yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Let's just invite all of our family over. So we invited Bob and Kathy. We invited Chad and Christy and Mom and Dad. And we said, you know what? We're going to do Valentine's Day all at our house. And so we cooked and we ate dinner. And at the end of the night, I had the kids sitting around the table. And I just brought the cushion. And I said, you know what? What is love? And of course, from the 4 and 5 year old perspective, I got everything from that's when you like somebody to that's when you kiss and hold hands to, I mean, we got all kinds of answers. But we actually brought out dessert and we handed a chocolate pudding to each one of them. And we handed them a spoon, but we said, you know what, here's the rule for tonight. Nobody can feed themselves their own dessert. And their eyes just got about this big. I mean, they were going, Uncle Kyle, Daddy, you put this chocolate pudding in front of us and now we can't eat it. You know, what are we supposed to do? But somebody quickly figured out, you know what, but I can give you a spoonful of mine. And they did, and they started feeding, and you see the pictures here, and they start feeding each other, and we had this talk at the end of the night about what true love was, and true love is about giving and about serving, and it was a very fun night. It was a great example of what we're talking about here, about taking the talks out of the four walls of the church. Not that this is a bad place, this is a great place, but taking it to the home, and so that they can start to see those lessons from Mom and Dad.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to back up about 2 or 3 slides. And I want to show you how we're going to provide coaching and resources. This is called a Home Point Center. We're making the commitment to you as a staff that we will have that available for you. And in that, there will be all kinds of resources available free of charge for you to enhance your marriage and to enhance your family. Go to the next slide. Kyle mentioned some things like recipe cards and plans. This is a calendar that they did where the children had that. And we will be doing those some kind of things too, where when they pray at home, they get something on the calendar. And it's something that they can take a lot of pride in, and you can talk about the Lord. Next slide was the one that Kyle mentioned. Well, this is a marriage date night, some ideas to enhance your marriage. And then he mentioned the thing with the P card. The other thing that we are going to do is we are going to create a website link that will give you all of these resources online. So you'll have them physically and you'll have them online. So we're not just casting a vision to have stronger marriages and better homes. We're saying we're going to help you do that. We're going to provide you some resources. We're available for coaching, however we can be of assistance to you. We must be Jesus in our homes. The trends confirm it. The Scripture commands it. Are you ready to claim it? Amen. Amen. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a moment. Randall's going to come and he's going to play. I'm going to ask you to make that commitment today. Husbands and wives, the altar, I'm hoping we're going to have people in the aisle. We have reserved part of the service for a time of commitment. Husbands and wives to each other, children, some of you young people that are in this youth choir, go get your parents. Let's make a fresh commitment to be what God wants us to be in our homes. Okay? I'm going to pray, and then you can move, and you can even start moving while I'm praying if you want to. Gilbert, you go to that side. Karen, you go to that side. If you've got another type of response you need to make, if you want to say, I want to be a part of a church, you're here, you've been visiting, I want to be a part of a church that honors the home, then you come see Karen, you come see Gilbert, and we'll show you how you can do that. If you don't know the Lord that we're talking about, we want to show you that first of all. Amen? Amen. Because you can't honor the Lord in your home.
Hang out.
Can't walk where you haven't walked. Okay? I'm going to pray. You start coming even as I pray. Father, Lord, we just commit this all to you, Lord. It started out as a simple request in a hallway. I don't even know who made it. But God, you have grabbed first in my heart and then the heart of our staff to say, Lord, we want to be more God-honoring in our homes in this place, Lord. The statistics show that we can have the best youth programs and the best children's programs, but 50% of those kids are walking away from the church, Lord. And Father, I can think of those, name by name by name, that have walked away, Lord. I pray that won't be true of the children and our grandchildren, Lord. God, help us make a fresh commitment to being what we need to be in our homes. God, I pray for these that are coming. Lord, I just pray a special blessing for them, Lord, as you will bless their homes, bless their marriages, Father. And we're going to just dedicate all of this to you. In Christ's name, I pray.